Good morning. We welcome you today in wherever you are, from wherever you are, and thank you for joining our worship from Messiah Lutheran Church in Mifflintown. This is the third Sunday of Epiphany, and we've got a lot to talk about and do when the time comes. But please remember in prayer two families. First, the family of Kay Stuck, who passed away last week, and the family of Esther Ryan, who also passed away this past week. Both were members, longtime members here at Messiah, and we wish all comfort and peace to their families in this time of loss. Remember, please, if you need the gift cards, Wise or Giant, or both, feel free to contact the church office or me or Linda to get those. And they will be delivered if you need. There being no other announcements, let us continue with our service this morning. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose voice is upon the waters, whose mercy is poured out upon all people, whose goodness cascades over all creation. Let us confess our sin, trusting in the abundant grace of God. Holy God, you search us and know us. You are acquainted with all our ways. We confess that our hearts are burdened by sin
our own sins and the broken systems that bind us. We turn inward, failing to follow your outward way of love. We distrust those who are not like us. We exploit the earth and its resources and fail to consider generations to come. Forgive us, gracious God, for all we have done and left undone. Even before the words are on your tongues, you know them. Receive them in your divine mercy. Amen. How vast is God's grace! Through the power and promise of Christ Jesus, our sins are washed away, and we are claimed in God's own beloved. Indeed, we are forgiven. In the wake of God's forgiveness, we are called to be the beloved community living out Christ's justice and the Spirit's reconciling peace. Amen. The grace of Jesus Christ, the mercy of the Holy One, and the Spirit of the living God be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Let us pray. Almighty God, by grace alone you call us and accept us in your service. Strengthen us by your Spirit. Make us worthy of your call through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Book of Jonah is a comedy starring a reluctant prophet who is given a one-sentence message. Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days. Much to Jonah's dismay, the people of Nineveh repent. The point of the story is to get the reader to wrestle with the question, on whom should God have mercy? The first reading is taken from Jonah chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
And the psalm is from Psalm 62. For God alone I wait in silence. Truly my hope is in God.
God alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, so that I shall never be shaken.
In God, in my deliverance and my honor, God is my strong rock and my refuge.
Would you trust in God always, people, pour out your hearts before the one who is our refuge?
Those of high degree are but a fleeting breath. Those of low estate cannot be trusted. Placed on the scales together, they weigh even less than a breath.
Put no trust in extortion, and robbery take no empty pride. Though wealth increase, set not your heart upon it.
God has spoken once, twice have I heard it, that power belongs to God.
Steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord, for you repay all according to their deeds.
Paul does not disapprove of marriage or other human social institutions. He does, however, want Christians to live in the present in fervent anticipation of God's future, which even now has dawned through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Okay. Well, you never know where we're going here. But I think, let's see here. This is for all those young at heart, the children's message. Now, again, children, remember, you may well be children of 80 years old or more, but still, don't let that worry you here. In today's story, we hear in today's gospel the message of four, not one, but four fishermen. And they become the first four disciples of Jesus. And, you know, deja vu all over again. Do you remember these? Okay. This one is a depiction or picture showing Peter. Now, in our gospel message today, that's Simon. Jesus called him Peter, and it's quite possible he had two different names there, but Simon or Peter. And Peter's brother, Andrew. And they were fishermen. Now, boys and girls of all ages, when you fish, you want to catch the fish. Otherwise, you wouldn't be there. Yeah, it's a lovely creek or lake or even ocean. But think about it. You want to catch fish. And Jesus comes along and sees these two. Now, they're casting a net, not a fishing line. But they're casting their net in order to catch those fish. And what's Jesus say? Come follow me. Now, how long does it take for them to answer? In our gospel message, it doesn't take very long at all. They follow him. He comes along and he sees James and John, sons of Zebedee. Okay? James and John. So, they're fishermen too. Now, they're in a boat mending their nets, but they want to catch fish. Boys and girls of all ages, let's do what Simon, Andrew, James, John were asked to do. Let's catch people. Let's fish for people. Let us follow Jesus and reach out with the love of Jesus to catch people. Jesus says in one translation, and I always have loved this, the King James Version, "I will make you fishers of men." I like today's version too. "I will teach you to fish for people." And that is what, boys and girls, we are asked to do. Fish for people. With the love of Jesus, catch them, bring them, make them happy and excited about being and knowing Jesus. And the rest of the message, I'm going to be talking about this thing called the good news that Jesus said is at hand. when he gets to this scripture. Let us pray. Children everywhere, hear the word of Jesus. Hear the good news. Let us all fish for people. Let us fish for our friends. Let us fish for people we may not even know. But let us, no matter what, fish with the love of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, I'd ask you to think one moment, and even close your eyes. The first lesson today was about Jonah, from the book of Jonah. And close your eyes. What do you remember most about Jonah and what happened to him? You may open your eyes. And of course, the first thing that comes to my mind, and maybe yours too, is that Jonah got swallowed by a big fish. We usually depict that as a whale. And all's well, it ends well. He was eventually cast out of the fish, out of the whale, onto a beach and so on. And the rest I'll leave to you. But when you get a chance, read the book of Jonah and find out what happens. Jonah's a prophet. Most prophets seem to have a hard time getting their message across. Find out about Jonah. I'm not going to tell you any more about that story. But let us get back to the gospel message from Mark. Now, right in the beginning, verse 15 it is, I think, and Jesus was saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." What is the good news? What is it we are asked to believe? Well, good news, when you translate words and ancient Greek and so on, turns into our word gospel. So, believe the good news. Believe the gospel. What is it then that makes up this good news that we are asked to believe? Well, one of the things that this good news tells us, shows us, teaches us, is truth. You see, many people wondered for years and years, what is the truth about God? We look at many stories that happened to, with, and for the ancient Israelites in the early Hebrew texts, and there were all kinds of good stuff happening and all kinds of bad stuff happening. So what's God like? Is he a God that brings good stuff all the time, or a God that brings bad stuff? Well, the truth is really neither. Okay? If we look now at what Jesus is like in our Gospels, in our good news, we see what God is like. We see that Jesus is a God of love, is a God of understanding, is a God who desires us to love our neighbors, to reach out and catch any of those around us, and with love, bring them to Jesus and show them that love. So, remember, God is Jesus, is the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, Jesus shows us what God is like, the truth about God. The good news is also hope. And boy, in this time, people could hardly wait to get to 2021 because of the hope that exists in 2021 compared with what we all dealt with in 2020. Now, for some, that hope has turned into sorrow and will continue to do so. That's part of this worldly life. But this good news is the news of hope, that hope will reveal to us what God is like and what He will be for us and what we can be for others. That is the hope. The good news is the good news of peace. Not always the peace of security and comfort and being able to lounge around, but it is the peace of the knowledge in Christ that we have the strength to deal with all these tough times that we've been through. It is the peace of Christ that will get us through all these tough times. There is also a promise in this good news. Jesus promises to us. Christianity, you see, tells us of a God who is more ready to give to us, promises to us, promises for us, promises with us, than we ask of God. We are given so much through the promise of God. There's another piece of this good news. It sounds kind of ironic, but we are promised immortality, life everlasting. We cannot think in terms of that as earthly life. It does not mean that we will be immortal. But through Christ, in God's kingdom, we will have, with Christ, life eternal. That is part of the good news. And likewise with that is this message of salvation. We say in the forgiveness, God forgives our sins. Our sins are forgiven. We don't have to do anything to earn that salvation. We do not have to do anything for it to be there. God has given it to us. God is a given God. So that is this definition, this meaning, all these pieces rolled together is the good news. Jesus is saying, the good news is here. Now he says two other words. He uses the term repent. And repent doesn't just mean say you're sorry, but it means to change your lifestyle. Change your ways. We have sorrow for sin, not sorrow for the consequences of sin, but sorrow for the sin itself. That is what we are to have. And all this comes together with one word, believe. A few years ago, that was in the movie, Polar Express. Believe was a big term. And truthfully, that's really what this boils down to. We believe. And even another place, believe as a child. Believe in the good news. Believe simply that what Jesus tells us is what God is like, is what God promises, is what we have been given by God through the love of Christ. Amen. Let us confess our belief through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Guided by Christ, made known to the nations, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. For the church throughout the world, for pastors and teachers, for deacons and deaconesses, and for musicians and servers that all proclaim the good news of God's reconciling love, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For skies and seas, for birds and fish, for favorable weather and clean water, and for the well-being of creation, that God raise up advocates and scientists to guide our care for all the earth. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For those who are sick, distressed or grieving, for the outcast and all who await relief, that in the midst of suffering, God's peace and mercy will surround them. We pray for our shut-ins, the sick, and those in need of our prayers, compassion, and care who are listed in our prayer list in the bulletin. We pray also for those mentioned now by our congregation. For those listed here, mentioned here, aloud and in the silence of our hearts, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For our congregation and community, for families big and small, and for the organizations of our congregation, let that God's steadfast love serve as a model for all relationships. Let us pray.
See, O God.
In thanksgiving for our ancestors in the faith whose lives serve as an example of gospel living, and that they point us to salvation through Christ, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Merciful God, hear the prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who dwells among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God, receive these gifts as you receive us, like a mother receives her child with arms open wide. Nourish us anew in your tender care and empower us in faithful service to tend to others with the same love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God the Creator, strengthen you. Jesus the Beloved, fill you. The Holy Spirit and Comforter keep you in peace. Beloved, here is bread, here is wine, here is Jesus. Come and be fed. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." The body of Christ given for you. And the blood of Christ shed for you. Christ Jesus, at this table we have feasted on your very life and are strengthened for our journey. Send us forth through this banquet, nourished in body and in spirit, to proclaim your good news and serve others in your name. Amen. Go in peace. Be the light of Christ.